77 years ago today, the Allied Expeditionary Force began the invasion of Normandy. We know it today as D-Day. It was the beginning of the end of the Second World War. If you remember much about your history of that day, then you'll know that about 7,000 different ships and vessels conveyed about 156,000 soldiers who would all invade the Normandy coast at the same time, five beaches along a 50-mile beachfront. It was an incredibly difficult day. If you've read much about D-Day, you know what a devastating thing it was, because this was not a surprise attack. This was an attack against an enemy who had anticipated this might be where they would come, and they were prepared. They had about 4 million landmines that had been laid. There was razor wire everywhere. There were guns that were specifically targeted at various parts of the beach so that every place would be covered. And yet these men were invited, expected to be part of this incredible invasion. To succeed, they would have to storm the beaches, make their way up cliffs, and begin to liberate the area called Normandy. By the end of the conquest of Normandy in August, the Allied soldiers would suffer 250,000 casualties. But within a year, victory in Europe would have been secured. If you remember or have read much about D-Day, you also remember how President Roosevelt announced what was happening to the country that day. He announced that the invasion had begun, and then he led the nation in prayer and asked God to bless them. It was a challenging, difficult, far from certain event. Now, I have to tell you, I'm a little bit of a history nut. I would tell you, if you want to read an incredible book about that day, you read the book D-Day by Stephen Ambrose. It's an oral history of men who experienced, what men experienced on that particular day. And I guess that's what made me start thinking this past week. I was thinking about what it must have been like to have been an ordinary soldier on one of those ships. Not a general, not an admiral, not some of those who would stand behind the lines and direct the battle, but just those ordinary men who were about to make their way onto the beaches and storm Normandy in order to set the world free from fascism. These men were so varied. They came from everywhere, from big cities to tiny towns to little farms. They came from different kinds of backgrounds. Some were highly educated. Some had skipped high school to enlist illegally in order to be a part of the army during World War II. Some were entering their first battle, and some were veteran soldiers. But I got to thinking about, I wonder what was going on in their minds as they made their way across the English Channel. And I thought, I bet there were two questions that all of them were asking themselves. The first question would probably be the most basic question of all: will I live to see tomorrow? And thousands of them didn't. But I think maybe the second question would be something like this: when this invasion begins, and we storm the beaches, and the guns begin to fire, and the bombs begin to explode, and I see what's going on all around me, will I do my part? Will I have the courage to follow through? And thankfully, most of them did. You know, when it comes to a moment like that in your life, and hopefully none of us will ever face a moment like that where life and death and the fate of the world seems to hang in the balance. But when you have to make those tough decisions, when you have to choose courage above safety, it really all comes down to a question of character, doesn't it? It all comes down to discovering who you really are and what you really stand for and how much you're willing to sacrifice in order to take that stand. You know, the world around us needs to see believers with that kind of character today. We live in a time when if there's anything that's important for us as Christians, it is simply this: let me live my life, let me conduct myself, let me reveal in who I am the kind of character that will draw attention from the world around me. We're living in a time when standing boldly for your Christian faith is no longer respected the way it once was. To be vocal about the Lord will open you up to criticism or maybe even worse. The truth is, we live in a time when it's safer to just keep your mouth shut and go along and follow the flow of the culture around you. And if you do that, you may be liked, but you won't be respected. If we're going to truly face the future, then we have to do it with Christian character. The Bible describes a man who revealed his faithful character boldly. His name was Joseph, and he's revealed in the book of Genesis. Early in his life, he made a commitment that he was going to live to please the Lord, and he fulfilled that commitment with strong character for the rest of his life. He remained faithful when it was easy, and just as faithful when it cost him everything. And because of his character, God blessed him with a future that was beyond anything he could have imagined. The Bible uses Joseph as a model for us to follow. So this morning, I want to take a few moments, and as we think about what it means to ask the question, am I ready to stand, whatever the cost may be, whatever the call may be? Let's discover how Joseph teaches us to live our lives with godly character. And the first thing we would need to know is this: you have to choose consistency between your walk and your ways. The passage we read together this morning, I would imagine there were probably folks here who were reading those words and listening to that passage and thinking, I'm not sure I quite remember where that came from. I'm not sure what's going on. And it's an important time. It's coming at the end of Joseph's father Jacob's life. And Jacob has called all of his sons in before him, and he's begun to speak blessings and talk to them about the future. And for some of them, the future is very bright. For some of them, the future is very dim. And then he comes to Joseph, and he begins to speak to him as he reaches the end of his life and as he sends his son out to live. And he begins to say, Joseph, a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. And he goes on and he speaks a great future into Joseph's life. Now let me tell you something. And Joseph fulfilled that blessing, because Joseph had already decided, I am going to live to honor the Lord. Since Jacob had been brought to Egypt, he had had many opportunities to watch Joseph's life. He had seen how Joseph lived and watched the way he led. He knew how he dealt with people in his public life. He watched how he dealt with his family and his private life. He recognized how he showed his brothers compassion when he could easily have made their lives miserable or taken them away. Jacob had the opportunity to see Joseph consistently going about his business, and he saw the evidence of his godly character. Can you imagine what a great experience it was for Jacob as his life was winding to an end to look at his son and to recognize everything this man says he is. Everything my son had the potential to become, he has become. Every time he had the privilege of being faithful, he was faithful. I am so proud. of my son. This was nothing new. Joseph had spent a lifetime revealing the depth of his character. When he was nothing but a servant in Potiphar's house, the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. And it says, Joseph found favor in his master's sight. Later, when Joseph was unjustly cast into prison, the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. Yet again. And Joseph found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In other words, wherever Joseph found himself and whatever was going on around him, people took note of his integrity. Not just when things were going his way, but sometimes when things had taken a turn for the worse, and just when he thought he'd reached the bottom, he found out that he could fall further still. And even in the midst of it all, with all of the struggles in his life, he continued to be faithful to the Lord. People around him noted him for his integrity. When he was a servant in Potiphar's house, both Potiphar and those who served him recognized, here's a man of rare quality. And in fact, before very long, Joseph was in charge of the household. When later Joseph had to spend years in prison, he maintained his integrity. Even when it seemed as though he had been forgotten, he continued to live out a life full of faith. There was a consistency in his spiritual life that carried him wherever he went. And then later in years to come, when Joseph's fortunes turned around, when he became one of the most important leaders in Egypt, Pharaoh himself watched his integrity and he gave Joseph a name. You know what that name means? It means God speaks and he lives. In other words, I see God in your life. When people looked at Joseph, they recognized the presence of the Lord and who he was. He brought godly integrity wherever he went, whether it was as a son of Jacob or a servant of Potiphar or a prisoner locked away or a servant of Pharaoh. He was the same person all the time. There was a consistency in Joseph's life. And here's the thing, and God calls us to follow Joseph's example. To reveal that same kind of consistency in who we are and what we do and how we live and where we find ourselves. How do you do that? Well, number one, we are to know who we are and whose we are. Joseph was able to stand faithfully, because he knew who he was. He knew that God's hand had been upon him and that God was with him, and so he was able to follow wherever the Lord led. He knew who he was, and he knew whose he was. We are to choose to live a consistent Christian witness. You know, there's one question that Joseph never had to ask himself all of his life long. You know what he never asked himself one time? He never asked himself the question, who is watching? Who is watching? Because depending upon who is paying attention to me right now, I will become that person they want me to be. So let me pay attention around myself and recognize, do I live a godly life here? Do I lead a compromised life here? Do I lead a heathen life here? Who's watching? That was just a question that never occurred to him because he knew who was watching. He knew his father was watching. He knew that the Lord was paying attention to his life and he wanted to live in a way that brought honor to him. And so he lived before the Lord. He chose to live a consistent Christian life or a consistently godly life. And we can choose to live a consistent Christian life to never reach that point of saying, I wonder who's paying attention to me. I wonder how I'm supposed to act. I wonder what I'm supposed to do. We are to live for the Lord wherever we are. And number three, our character should reveal no conflict between our words and our ways. You know what I mean? It's one thing to talk a game. It's another thing to live it out. You know, if I had been one of those soldiers in the ship waiting to go onto the beaches of Normandy, I know there'd be one fellow that I would want to stay as far away from as I could, and that's that guy who was so boastful before they ever touched the beach. Boy, wait till I get there. Wait till people see me. Wait till I want to be with the people who are a little bit nervous, but they're willing to stand. And the same thing is true for us as believers. I'd rather be around someone who is nervous but willing to stand, rather than around that person who in the safety of some places is willing to talk so much about their walk with God, but you're not sure what's going to come out when they're actually out in public revealing themselves. If you live with real Christian character, then you may not tell everybody you meet, "I'm a Christian believer." But nobody who finds out you're a Christian believer should ever be astounded to learn that. There's to be consistency in our lives. The second thing we learn from Joseph is simply this, and you need to display unity between your public self and your private self. The Bible describes a time when Joseph faced real pressure to compromise his character. You remember that. It's when he was a servant in Potiphar's wife and Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife had her eye on Joseph, and she thought, "I can get this fellow to compromise his character. I can entice him into sin and failure." And time after time, she approached him, and time after time, he rejected her advances. But then came the day when everything came to a head. Joseph found himself alone in the house with Potiphar's wife, and again she approached him. And if he was ever going to surrender to temptation, this would be the time. The opportunity was there. Nobody would ever know. To reject her was to invite the wrath of a woman scorned. There must have been something inside of Joseph that said, "You know what? This time it'll just be easier to go along. This time, it'll just be easier to compromise myself. After all, nobody will ever find out, and everything will be okay." Instead, in the face of temptation, the Bible says Joseph responded in three ways. First, he spoke of his loyalty to his master. "How could I betray the one who has been so good to me?" Then he identified sin clearly for what it was. "I cannot commit this sin against my God." And then the third thing, he ran away. Sometimes it's good to know when to avoid temptation. And in the midst of that situation, a situation that would cost him dearly, Joseph made a decision. The way he acted in private would be consistent with who he claimed to be in public. Who I am when nobody's watching is going to be the same person I am when everybody's watching. I will be faithful. And you and I must make the same decision. If we're going to be people of godly integrity, then there can't be a division between who we are and who people think we are. John Maxwell is one of my favorite preachers and teachers. He's pastored large churches. He's spoken to large gatherings of folks. Every book he writes is a bestseller. If anybody's life could be described as successful, it would be John Maxwell. And yet one time I heard him talk about success, and this is what he said. His definition for success was simply this: success is when the people who know me best are the ones who love and respect me the most. Isn't that good? When the people who know me best are the ones who love and respect me the most. And then he went on and explained that. He said, "If I reach 10,000 people for Christ, and yet my own children turn away from the Lord because of what they've seen in my private life. If I've influenced pastors and teachers all across the nation, but my own wife has no love or respect for me, because of the way I treat her when nobody else is paying any attention at all, then my life is an abject failure." That's strong stuff, isn't it? I want to be successful in my life. Well, success is when those who know me best are the ones who love and respect me the most. To choose to live with personal integrity means that who I am when the door is closed and the shades are drawn is the same person that the world sees when I'm out in public. And then Joseph teaches us this: you must reveal your character through your faith and your practice. When Jacob blessed Joseph, he made it clear how critical Joseph's relationship with the Lord would be if he were going to become everything God wanted him to be. What did he say? He said, "By the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." That's a prophetic statement, by the way. "By the God of your father, who will help you. By the Almighty, who will bless you." In other words, Jacob was saying to his son, stay close to God. Stay close. Don't allow yourself to step to the left hand or to the right. Stay close to God. The more you stay close to Him, the more you can rely upon His blessings. Does that mean you're never going to struggle? Not if we look at Joseph's life. Does that mean you're never going to experience hardship? Joseph seems to tell us that we will. But it does tell us this: but if you remain consistently faithful, God will reveal Himself to be faithful to you. And He will bring you through those times, and you will see His hand at work in your life. Joseph's faith was not just a part of who he was. It was the central reality of his life. It wasn't as though Joseph said to himself, look, I'll walk with God. There's going to be that part of my life, and I'm going to set that aside. That's going to be the part of me that comes to church on Sundays. That's going to be the part of me that comes to Sunday school. It's going to be the part of me that gives my offering. It's going to be the part of me that tries to say the right things in the right places. And then there's the rest of me. And God has no place in the rest of me. The quality of your Christian character is always revealed by how your faith transforms your life. If what I believe as a follower of Jesus does not transform the way I live, then my faith is superficial at best. Each of us needs to know this: who we are, that we are who we are because of Jesus. And who we are in Jesus should determine how we live in the world. To live your life with godly character simply means you're willing to regularly ask yourself three questions. And it doesn't mean you understand every step of theology or every nuance of biblical knowledge, but there's some pretty basic questions you can ask yourself when it comes to Christian character. Are you ready? Number one, am I doing what God expects? In the living of my life, am I doing what God expects from me? That's a pretty simple question to answer, isn't it? And so is the answer to the second question. And it is this: am I doing what I respect? If I take the way I'm living and project it onto somebody else, is that the kind of person I would want to be around? Do I respect myself for the way I'm living? And then the third one: am I doing what I would have others reflect? Would I want those people who look to me to be an example and who look to me for guidance to do what I'm doing, to act like I'm acting? I learned that lesson the hard way a lot of years ago. I've got to turn this phone off, y'all. It's dinged four times on me. Many years ago, I was driving down the road. Jamie was about 2 years old, riding in his car seat in the back of my car. I was driving down the road, and I had one of those experiences that happened to everybody, and I think to myself, you know, this is okay, I'm a good Christian, but it's one of those times when somebody coming the other way on a four-lane road just turns around and U-turns right in front of you so they can go 15 miles an hour. And I stood on top of my brakes, and that person, and I was, you know, ready to remind them in a godly way that they had gotten in my way. And this little voice from my back seat says, "You stupid head!" And I thought, I need to change. And I've been perfect ever since. But it does remind us, doesn't it, that people are watching. Little people are watching at your house. People at work are watching how you live. Folks that you find in your neighborhood are paying attention. Am I doing what I would have other people reflect? Am I doing what God expects? Am I doing what I respect? Am I doing what I would like others to reflect? And if I'm doing those things the right way, then the Lord is honored. And I can know I am living my life with Christian character. I'm living the way Joseph lived so long ago. So what about you? On this day when we remember 77 years ago, when thousands of men were willing to lay their lives on the line, are you willing to lay your life on the line, not just one day, but every day, for the sake of Christ? Maybe you're here today, you're not a believer. You need to come to know Christ in a personal way. While I have not shared a particularly gospel message, Kimberly did. And she shared with you everything you need to know about coming to know Christ Jesus, that God loved you. He sent His Son. He died for you. And if you trust Him, you can have everlasting life. Maybe today that's you. Maybe today you need to trust Christ for the very first time. Maybe you need to become a part of what God is doing at First Baptist Church. You just want to bring your membership here. Maybe God's speaking to you about something special. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, if God's leading you to a decision, you come. I'd love to meet you to help you know the Lord. Let's stand together. Let's sing.